Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Our lesson today is 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4. This is where we learn of the relationship between David and Jonathan. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle." When Jonathan saw David in action, that is, fighting against Goliath, and then pursuing with the enemy, and coming back with the head of Goliath as his prize, and hanging the armor of Goliath in his tent, he knew something about him right away. He said, "Man, this is some kind of fella I like." Because Jonathan saw in David a man that was much like himself. Brave, courageous, and unafraid to just go and get something done. Kind of like Jonathan did when he went with his 1,000 men who destroyed a garrison of the Philistines, and then like Jonathan did with his armor bearer when he went and destroyed a garrison of about 20 men on the top of a cliff. So Jonathan and David, right here, formed a lasting friendship. And that lasting friendship is an example of the depth of the friendship you can have with your friends, but it's also a great example of the relationship that we should have with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see how. In this little passage of Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, we find that Jonathan gave David four things. He gave him his love, he gave him his soul, he gave him his covenant, and he gave him his royal armor. Let's look at the implications of each one of those. First of all, Jonathan gave David his love. Notice the Bible says, in verse 1, "It came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." Well, we know the commandment in the Bible is, you know, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And it's a general commandment. So this love is patterned after that commandment, no doubt. But it goes much deeper. Because David said about Jonathan at the end of Jonathan's life, "Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26, after Jonathan lost his life in battle with Saul against the Philistines, this is what David said: "Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." Now, some perverted minds, and I'll say for sure, perverted minds, have taken that expression that David gave and have suggested that the love that Jonathan and David had for each other was a perverted type of love, and that they had gotten into some sort of a homosexual relationship. You know something? That is a person who that would make that comment that cannot have read this Bible cover to cover under the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, and could not have received the Scripture by inspiration of God, as 2 Timothy 3:16 says. There's no way. That's somebody who has come to this Bible with a mind clouded by sin and has gone to this Bible to look to prove that something perverted in his mind or her mind is acceptable with God because of this particular love that these two had with each other. That's an amazing conclusion to draw. It's a perverted conclusion to draw. It's very misguided. There's no way that that kind of relationship existed between David and Jonathan. David was absolutely mortified about his actions with Bathsheba and was scared literally to death that the Lord would cut him off and take his Holy Spirit from him, which the Lord didn't do. We read about that in Psalm 51. David was very repentant. Well, that's because that type of sin is an abomination with God. And do you know that homosexuality is an abomination with God as well? It is. In Leviticus chapter 18, Leviticus chapter 20, that thing is an abomination to the Lord. And there's no way that that could have happened without David having, you know, first of all, lost the kingdom, but secondly, having confessed that thing before the Lord out of literally fear that his life would be taken or that the Holy Spirit would be taken from him and he would lose God's mercy. So if you've ever heard that before, you've ever had anybody suggest that to you before, you just put that out of your mind. That comes from people of a reprobate mind. The Lord told us very plainly in Romans chapter 1 that when men start thinking like that and they're not thankful and they don't give glory to God and they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In other words, they start becoming evolutionary in their thinking as opposed to attributing to God the creation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now there's a reprobate mind, a man turned over to vile affections, filled with his own uncleanness and dishonoring his own body, that would ever suggest to you and even believe it that the relationship between Jonathan and David was anything like that. Let me tell you, you say, well, yeah, but David said, thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Do you know something? There are some women who love me dearly, and they would not ever consider any type of intimacy in our relationship. You say, really? Who might that be? My mother. She's a woman. You know something about the love of women for their sons? Even when their sons mess up, mothers still love them. Have you ever noticed that outside of the courtroom when the mother is being interviewed and the son has just been convicted of serial killing? She'll say, but he was such a good boy. He was so sweet to me. Or something along those lines. You ever notice that that boys can really mess up and turn with a repentant heart? Mama's right there, man. Because there's something about the relationship between a mother and her boy and a mother and her daughter that is, it's a love that surpasses anything you could imagine. And David said about Jonathan, he said, your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women, even better than my mother's love. You know, I've got some women in this world that love me that would never consider any kind of intimacy with me whatsoever, not along the perverted thought line that others have suggested. You know who they are? They're my sisters. And they love me. And I love them. And I'll tell you, there's something about a sister's love for his brother. I realize there's all kinds of sibling rivalries and those kind of things. I realize that. But let me tell you something. You say something bad about me in front of one of my sisters, and you're going to find out you have tangled with somebody you wish you had never tangled with. If they want to say something bad about me, between me and them, that's their prerogative. That's our sibling relationship. You try it and see how far you go. And likewise, say something about them in front of me, you're not going to have some trouble. Why? Because they love me. And you know what David said? Jonathan, your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women, even better than my sisters. Let me tell you something else. I have some women in this world that love me that would never, ever even consider this type of intimacy that's been considered here by the perverted minds of people that have distorted the love of David and Jonathan. Never even consider it. And they love me, and I love them. You know who they are? They're my daughters. They're my daughters. And I'll tell you what, unless you have daughters, I don't believe you can understand the love of a father for his children, for his daughters. It's a very unique thing. It's a very deep love. And I've seen some daughters really trample on the heartstrings of their dads. And I'll tell you, the dads have had some very difficult time in dealing with some of the trouble that has been caused by some of their daughters. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a depth of love in there that borders on unconditional. To the extent that Jesus Christ loved us enough to die for us. That type of love. And you know what David said about Jonathan? Thy love to me was wonderful. Passing the love of daughters. My daughters love me. And that love they have for me is not like a love they will ever have for any other man on this earth. My mother loves me, and the love she has for me is not like any that you would ever know except as a mother's love. My sisters love me. It's that kind of love, man, that you have to have sisters to understand. And David said about Jonathan, thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. So don't you let some reprobated mind, a non-Bible believing pervert, try to convince you that this love that Jonathan had for David when he said he loved him as his own soul was some stupid made up thing to cover for some gross sin of our society. It can't be, and it is not. That love that he gave him was a love like he loved for his own soul, not perverted, my friend. Jesus Christ talked about the type of love that a man has for his own soul and related it to marriage. And when he related it to marriage, he said, listen, you men, I want you to love your wives. And I want you to love your wives the way that Christ loved the church. Okay? He says in Ephesians 5:28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Well, listen, we understand the love that a man has for his body. Jonathan's love for David was as he loved his own soul. It's a natural thing, but at the same time, it is a depth of love that goes beyond the ordinary friendship. You got it? And Jonathan gave David his love. Let me tell you something. David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you know what? We should love the Lord Jesus Christ at least the way that Jonathan loved David. We ought to give him our love, and that love ought to surpass the love of women. There you go. This society is messed up now. Women are being exploited to advertise every kind of product, thinking somehow or another that's going to lure people into buying. And it's cheapened the respect and love that men ought to have for women, because now they're just exploited for merchandise. Let me tell you something. If your love is nothing more than worldly love and natural love, then you have a wrong view of your relationship as it should be to your wife. And more importantly, a wrong view of your love as it should be to the Lord Jesus Christ. That love is not to be exploited, trampled upon, and disrespected. That's the kind of love that Jonathan had for David. But that's not all. Not only did Jonathan give David his love, he gave him his soul. Look what the Bible says. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. You see that? Now, I don't mean he gave him his soul like people say, did you give your soul to the devil? Or did you give your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that type of gift where they were knit together. They were so bound up in the lives of each other that whatever happened to one happened to the other. When Saul decided that he wanted to kill David, Saul actually almost killed his own son because he was so much like David and so much had knit his soul with David. He said, well, are there any other descriptions in the Bible that are similar to that type of knitting of the soul? Yes. Genesis chapter 44. Genesis chapter 44. Yes, there are similarities. In Genesis chapter 44, what's happened is that Joseph is going to, has finagled a way to get Benjamin to stay with him by putting his silver cup in Benjamin's bag and restoring the money of his brothers on their second trip to Egypt. And when Judah had taken Benjamin to Egypt, he had promised his father, he had made himself surety for Benjamin. He said, I'll stand in his stead. That boy's coming back. Don't worry about that. I'm putting my life on it. Okay? Well, so Judah made a plea to switch out with Benjamin and stay with Joseph while Benjamin returned home to his father. And here is the reason why. Genesis chapter 44 and verse 29. Actually, we'll start with 27 for the context. Jacob is saying to Joseph, thy servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces. That's talking about Joseph, and I saw him not since. And if you take this also, speaking of Benjamin from me, and mischief befall me, you shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now listen to this. Judah then goes on to explain to Joseph, now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. Do you see what he says about Benjamin? Jacob's life is bound up with Benjamin's life. He said he's so inseparably tied that if Benjamin doesn't come back, my father's going to die. That's what he talks about when he says that Jonathan's soul was knit with David's. It was they were so tight that whatever one would protect the other, one would stand for the other, one would do anything that he possibly could to help the other. Listen, you see the same kind of gift, personal gift of oneself, in the gift of the Macedonian church when they raised the bounty for the poor saints back in Jerusalem in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is oftentimes used to teach, you know, giving, missions giving and giving and giving at a sacrificial level. But listen, there's something going on here that isn't preached enough in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. Verse 4, for the context, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And then they gave us the gift. Do you see that? They gave themselves to the Lord and they gave themselves to Paul. You know what? Their heart was knit with Paul and with the Lord Jesus Christ inseparably, so that whatever they had that could be used as a provision, Paul could have because he had them. Jonathan gave David his love. Jonathan gave David his soul. That's not all. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 18 and notice Jonathan gave David his covenant. Verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. Well, he doesn't tell you right there what the covenant is, but you can be sure that it was a covenant of an abiding friendship, at least, at a minimum. But then when you read on through the Bible, you find that there are several times when they covenant with each other, and it gives you more understanding of the depth of this type of covenant that they made. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 11, Jonathan said unto David, come and let us go out into the field. And they went out both of them into the field, and Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel. How do you like that prayer? He's talking to David, and he addresses the Lord. Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel. Is prayer so much on your lip that you can, in a conversation with somebody, turn immediately and give your attention to the Lord? Jonathan did. He said, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then sin not unto thee, and showeth thee the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan, but if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father, and thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not. There you go. There's a good glimpse of what's in that covenant. Show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not. Why would Jonathan make a covenant with David like that? Because Jonathan is the heir to the throne by birth. And he says, and he could see that David would be the choice down the road. So he says, hey, make a covenant with me. All right? That I die not. But also, thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. In other words, if you do anything to betray my covenant with you or with my house, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to be aware of the fact that I'm praying right now to the Lord that his enemies will take your life. Verse 17, and Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as his own soul. And now jump on down to verse 42. Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. What was the covenant? David, if you survive me, take care of my kids. David, if I survive you, I'll take care of your kids. And make sure that our kids have a covenant between themselves that they'll never cross each other. And there'll never be a war between the house of David and the house of Saul. Not as it concerns my offspring. So you get down to 2 Samuel chapter 9, and guess what you find? David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said to Mephibosheth, and he said, Mephibosheth, and David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? There, you know what he did? He fulfilled that covenant with Jonathan. Listen, Jonathan gave David his love. And you've seen it's the love that surpasses the love of women. He gave David his soul. It was so knit with him that anything that affected Jonathan affected David. And likewise, whatever affected David affected Jonathan. They were so close together. He gave him his covenant and that covenant of abiding friendship and protection of their families. Went all the way down to their offspring. Okay? And then finally, Jonathan gave David his royal armor. Verse 4, Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword, to his bow, and to his girdle. Now, you may be laughing about that girdle. That girdle is the thing that's used to gird the sword on to his body. If you see policemen today wearing a belt with handcuffs and mace and a radio and a gun and various other things, bullets and so forth, you know what that belt is? That's his girdle. He's girded with that belt, and that's what holds his armor or his weapons. Likewise, that girdle is something that wrapped around the waist of Jonathan, held the sword. All right, and he gave him that royal armor. You say, why is it royal? Because the Bible shows us in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 22, the only two people that had swords because of the oppression of the Philistines were Saul and Jonathan. And he said, here, David, take this. That's why David, who was a man of war, didn't understand anything about handling that armor because nobody else had it. So that was a great gift. But not only that, Jonathan, as we said, was the successor king by birth because he's Saul's son. But David was going to be the king by God's choice because Saul had disobeyed God and lost the kingdom. So giving up his garments was like giving up the throne. I mean, notice, Saul figured that out. 1 Samuel chapter 23, with a big row going on between Jonathan and Saul about David and Jonathan's friendship with David. Look what Saul says in 1 Samuel chapter 23, and look at verse 16. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood to strengthen his hand. He said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. You know what he said? You're going to be the king over Israel. I'll be next unto thee. He humbled himself, and he said, The problem is my dad knows it as well. And that, of course, led to envy. So listen, since David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we should give these same things to Jesus as Jonathan did to David. We ought to give him our love. Our souls ought to be knit with him. We ought to make a covenant with him to stand as his friend. We ought to give him the royal armor. Jesus should be the king of our lives, and we should be next to him, and we should be humble before him. Let me tell you, this is a fabulous, fabulous example of a wonderful, wonderful friendship. You know what you need to do? You need to do what you've seen in them.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.